Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Now, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has this evening hit back at claims Ukraine targeted an official residence of Vladimir Putin in a drone strike. He said Russia wants to undermine the progress between Ukraine and the US in the peace talks. Earlier, the Kremlin said peace with Ukraine is closer after last night's lengthy talks between Ukrainian President Zelensky and his US counterpart Donald Trump in Florida. President Zelensky said the US was offering Ukraine security guarantees against Russian aggression for 15 years, but that he wished they would be for longer.
And we discussed all the aspects of the peace framework, which includes, and we have great achievements, 20-point peace plan, 90% agreed, and US-Ukraine security guarantees, 100% agreed. US-Europe-Ukraine security guarantees, almost agreed. Military dimension, 100% agreed.
I don't like to say percentages. I just think we're doing very well. We could be very close. There are one or two very thorny issues, very tough issues, but I think we're doing very well. We made a lot of progress today, but really we've made it over the last month. I think when the president says 95, I think, you know, could be close to 95%. Yeah.
For more, let's go to The Guardian's David Smith in Washington. David, thanks very much for joining us this evening on Drive Time. President Trump and Zelensky, they discussed thorny issues last night and words this afternoon of a phone call between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. So where stand things this evening?
Yeah, well, things did seem optimistic on Sunday, and Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary, described Monday's call between Trump and Putin as positive. However, it's all been overshadowed now, I think, by this Russian claim that the Ukrainians attacked one of Vladimir Putin's residences in the Novgorod region. They said Russian air defenses shot down 91 incoming drones. And the Kremlin says that they told Trump about this in the phone call. They claim that Trump was shocked by it. And Russia said it's not walking away from these peace negotiations, but it's certainly reviewing its position. And separately, they've said, you know, they've already selected targets for retaliatory strikes. So this does not sound like two countries on the cusp of a peace deal. Instead, it sounds like a lot of the work that was put in over the weekend is now dangling by a thread.
And President Zelensky really hitting back at those claims as well, hasn't he?
That's right. He says this is basically a Russian attempt to sabotage the peace talks, describing the Russian claim as another lie, as he put it. And in fact, said he was expecting some kind of rupture like this following the discussions with Trump. I mean, I think critics would argue it's a fairly familiar Russian playbook. Each time there's been an apparent step forward, the Kremlin tries to push it two steps back. And historically, Putin has tried these false flag operations, many would argue, where he tries to undermine progress by accusing someone of the very thing that he does himself.
The tone last night was positive, but was there much substance in those talks?
Not really. I think while both Trump and Zelensky were very upbeat and talked about 95% being there towards a peace deal, the outstanding 5% is really the crucial bit, as in what is the Russian response? And on issues such as land and the fate of the Donbass region, Ukraine is already making some significant concessions, potentially considering a referendum on the future of that, perhaps looking towards a demilitarized zone. We are yet to hear Russia make concessions of its own. And as ever, there's very little sign of Trump compelling them to do that. Also, Russian skepticism about any idea of international peacekeepers or major security guarantees for Ukraine. We did hear Zelensky say today that there was a discussion of a 15-year security guarantee for Ukraine. He'd obviously like to be longer, but again, little sign that Russia would sign up to that.
And on a different note, President Trump has another big meeting today as well. What's this about?
That's right. In less than an hour, he's due to sit down with Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister. And I think a few things on the agenda. One is just resetting relations between the two countries, as there's been some disagreements, particularly over not only Israel's operations in Gaza, but its military strikes on Syria and Lebanon. And Qatar over this year. But apparently, Netanyahu is going to push for a tougher line in Gaza on disarming Hamas militants. He's also going to seek Trump's blessing on a new military strike on Iran to reduce its missile capability. It'll be, a fascinating conversation. And, apparently many Trump officials, their patience is wearing thin with Netanyahu. We'll have to see if he can still flatter Trump into seeing the world his way.
Yeah, well, all eyes so on that meeting. David Smith in Washington, many thanks for speaking to us this evening on Drive Time. Let's hear now from Shona Murray, Europe correspondent with Euronews. Shona, you watched the press conference last night. What's the reaction in Europe to these talks between Presidents Zelensky and Trump?
Well, I think, from the EU perspective, there was a meeting with Zelensky, with Trump, between Ursula von der Leyen, President of the European Commission, and other senior leaders like Chancellor Merz, President Macron, Mette Frederiksen of Denmark, President Stubb of Finland and other countries, and really sort of leading countries within the coalition of the willing, who have been quite optimistic, or as optimistic as possible, given the circumstances, that at least the security guarantees were agreed with Ukraine and the United States, that they would be Article 5-like. But there is an outstanding question of the credibility of them, because if you have a situation in Ukraine, if there is a sort of a ceasefire, and then Putin was to test that with an army or with some sort of a false flag, then you would be asking the question, would Trump really engage to save a small part of Ukraine, whether it's the Donbass or part of the eastern Ukraine, and go into direct conflict with Russia? And also, would European countries be willing to do that as well? So, I mean, on paper, it looks like that sort of part has evolved. But then also we heard there this false flag a claim by Russia, which Zelensky is adamantly and vehemently denying, where they said that there was 91 long range drone strikes at one of Putin's residences, but which were all deterred and demolished by Russian air defences. You know, they're sort of saying, well, this is exactly the modus operandi of Putin, and this is what we can expect, that he would A, try to derail this process, or B, if there is a process in place, he will destroy it.
The Coalition of the Willing is meeting again in January, isn't it? What's the significance of that meeting, Shona?
Well, they meet regularly. And the last time they met, obviously, that was just a couple of weeks ago, was when they were able to ascertain what the United States would put on the table when it comes to security guarantees. And in the case of this, as we heard from Zelensky yesterday, it was 15 years, which is a very short amount of time, given what Ukraine has been through since the 90s and the Budapest Memorandum, when they were given security guarantees by the West to give up their nuclear arms and to be protected. And here we are a few decades later, and the whole country has been invaded. So you can imagine the 15 years doesn't sound like a great deal. And the only thing you can think of is that maybe Putin won't be in power, maybe Trump won't, but 15 years is too short a time. And again, the question is the credibility of those guarantees as well. And then the other piece is that there's a real consensus or feeling that because the United States have said, we will give you what we can, maybe potentially in air power, in intelligence, that's the guarantees the US is offering, then that there's pressure on Zelensky now to give up the 23% of the Donbass that Ukraine still holds. And it's a really important part of eastern Ukraine as well, in terms of being a bulwark to the rest of the country. But also it means that Putin will have somehow gained something by its brutal invasion. And that really won't go down well in Ukraine. But also the other question is, once you give him something, will he come back for more? Because that's the way this is working, really, that he has this territorial conquest where he's actually succeeded in gaining something, and Zelensky has to give up a Ukrainian territory. And of course, the point that Ukrainians make all the time is, it's not just land. These are Ukrainian people who will be told, from now on, you're Russian and you speak Russian language, you go to Russian schools. So, the implications are massive.
And listening to interviews of the streets of Kyiv, their optimism in short supply amongst Ukrainians. Ukrainians, it would appear. But Seanan Murray of Euronews, thank you very much for joining us on Drive Time this evening. Now, coming up, from tape measures to stethoscopes, what life hacks can our smartphones help us with? And John Cook brings us back to January 2025 and the devastation caused by Storm Éowyn.